In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 24, 916, 1928, and we're in the middle of the document here. This passage, Jesus just says to Louisa that there is nothing left. Everything's accomplished with Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus rising from the dead, the Holy Spirit coming down upon the church, Our Lady going all around the world, getting humanity ready for this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So everything's done. So he says, so there's nothing left but to know the divine will in order to possess the divine will. And this is why I am, he uses God's name, manifesting to you, Louisa, what belongs to my kingdom and to my divine will, so that humanity may cover its ways. May humanity may follow these steps that Jesus is giving. The humanity may take possession of this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, which is the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. My divine will, with its light, heat, shall repeat prodigies. Now, listen to this. This prodigy, listen to this, of removing the bad humors that the human seed possesses. What does that mean? The bad humors is worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, doubting, and sin. The prodigy that God is going to produce, the unheard of prodigy, is to bring humanity to begin to live a life of perfection. I know that might sound strange because who's perfect? God alone. That's why he wants to give us the divine will so that we can be like in his image, in his likeness. So in order to be sure that it places the seed of light and the seed of heat, it shall constitute itself life of that seed. The seed that Mary produced was the divine will, at least the seed that not Mary produced, that was given to her by God, was the divine will. This seed she now can give to us. See, this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary. The triumph they make of the heart of Mary is we become like her son. That's the triumph. That's the divine will. So they shall exchange. My divine will shall take possession of the seed in order to form its life of divine light, divine heat, divine sanctity, and the soul, the creature, shall return to take new possession of the kingdom of my divine fiat. See, we're going to go back to where we were before the fall. And Jesus has redeemed us. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary. And now 2,000 years later, now that we have had the church for 2,000 years, the maturity is here for those who possess it, for those who want it, and then it's a new beginning. So this next part is really important. See then, Louisa, my daughter, everything is ready. It's not the end. It's not doom and gloom. Everything is ready. Nothing else is needed to make the divine will known. And this is why I, God, yearn so much what regards my divine will become known, to cast into humanity the desire to possess this good that is so great. And that's what happens. As you read, your desire gets deeper, more intense. You wake up in the morning wanting to live in the divine will. You wake up in the morning wanting to read, to learn more about what this life is all about, what this life that Jesus himself dictated to Louisa. Desire to possess a good so great. My divine will, Jesus says, drawn from heaven to earth by the desires of humanity. See, God has to give us what we want. That's why he gave us the Our Father. When we learn to pray the Our Father the way Jesus taught Louisa, may your kingdom come and reign in me, this dust. The kingdom of God is within you, Jesus said, as it is in heaven. These humans, these children who are drawing the kingdom of God on earth as it is had by their desires, may consecrate its luminous rays and its divine heat in order to perform the prodigy of giving back the divine right to possess its kingdom of peace, its kingdom of happiness, its kingdom of sanctity. See, the saints showed us how to do the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. To live in the divine will is volume 11 through volume 19 through the power of the Holy Spirit. When this great event happens, it's going to be glorious. It's going to be magnificent. And then finally, to live in the divine will as God originally planned Adam and his children. But because of Jesus being our new Adam and Mary is doing our new Eve, is becoming our new Eve, there is more that God has given to humanity than he gave to Adam. This kingdom of peace, happiness, and of sanctity. Volume 24, 1928. I was thinking to myself, Jesus desires so much that to give us this great gift of the kingdom of his fiat. This is everything that God wants. This desire, he says, and he yearns, he desires, he yearns, he wants to give this to us. He desires, he yearns, he wants to give us this gift. It's more than what he gave to the saints. Now, why does he want us to pray in order to give it to us? Why do we have to pray? If Jesus desires this, he yearns for it, he wants to give this great gift to us, why do we have to pray if God wants this? Jesus said, Luisa, my daughter, my lovable Jesus says, moving in my interior, that's where Jesus lives in the interior, and Luisa told me, my daughter, indeed, it is my most holy divine will to give the kingdom of my divine will to humanity. Nor can I help wanting and yearning to give the great gift. If it were not so, he says, if I did not yearn for the return, for humanity to return to the royal palace of my divine will, this is paradise, I would go against the order of our creative work, that with the highest wisdom, the created Adam, so that Adam might live of our own and dwell in the kingdom of our fiat. And we have given to Adam by us, triune God, it is his own divine inheritance. He says, this is why I created Adam, so that he could receive this divine inheritance of God. By going out of it, Adam formed disorder in our creative work. And how can we tolerate letting our most beautiful work, that's Adam, remain disordered? Humanity is the most beautiful of all of God's creation. And what do we do today? We save the whales, kill the children. It's, you know, our Lady with the holy innocence, when Herod did this, it hurt Our Lady so much that 33 years later, when she's at the cross watching her son die, she knew that either Jesus died for us or we all died. And she sacrificed her son for us. This is something that is so astonishing. It is so amazing. So he says, by going out of our divine will, Adam formed disorder of our creative work. And how can we, triune God, tolerate letting our most beautiful work, that's mankind, remain disordered? Centuries upon centuries have passed, and more than centuries may pass, Jesus says. If people don't want this, we might have to continue to live in this disorder. He says, but we, triune God, shall not change. We shall always, this shall be our most important point, our only purpose and our special interest, that our creative work be restored and reordered as it came out of our creative hands, that it may live, humanity may live in the kingdom of our divine will. Our divine will surrounds us like a crown. Our divine will renders us immutable and wants its kingdom to be possessed. But in spite of this, we want humanity to pray, humanity to yearn for this good that we, Triune God, want to give. This then forms a right over our paternal heart, with a shelf within it, in his heart, to be able to say, I want to receive what God wants to give. We want to receive what God wants to give. This is what prayer is. Prayer is so essential for us. The saints have said, those that pray go to heaven, those that don't pray go to hell. We have to learn how to pray. We have to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, not reading a book, but falling in love with God. He says, this forms a right over our paternal heart and a shelf within the human heart to be able to receive what we, Triune God, want to give, so that we, Triune God, may be able to say back to humanity in our emphasis of love, my son, you have deserved it. And we, Triune God, have given you what we want to give to you. See, it's God is saying, pray this prayer so that you can begin to want what God wants for us. So the one who prays disposes of himself, and that which is obtained by praying is appreciated, is kept safe. And since the knowledge of my divine will, the possession of his kingdom, is not an individual good, but a general one, in order to obtain it, I, God, have you pray for everyone, Louisa. I, God, have you pray for everyone in the name of everyone, past, present, and future. That's what we learn to do. I don't just pray for myself. I don't just pray for my family. I don't just pray for my nation. I pray for all of humanity. This is why I have you pray for everyone in the name of everyone. When you pray in the divine will, the church already says this. If you're the only one in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you represent all of humanity. If you're the only human in front of the Jesus and the monstrance, you represent all of humanity. So what Jesus is saying now, I want you to pray in the name of everyone and everything. I want you to bring before the throne of God all of humanity. And when we pray in the divine will, Jesus says this to Louisa, I hear all of humanity praying with your voice. Your prayers are powerful. Your prayers are powerful, especially when you learn how to pray in the divine will. Why? Because Jesus is praying in your praying. Mary is praying in your praying. All the angels, all the saints are praying in your praying. You're not alone. This is so powerful. You pray for each thought, each word, each active creature, so that you may form the right of our divine paternity, that everyone, past, present, and future, may receive the kingdom of our fiat, as well as the dispositions within them to be able to possess this kingdom. So the Virgin Mary, the Queen of Heaven, did this to impetrate the kingdom of redemption. Our Lady prayed, Our Lady sighed, Our Lady's act for everyone and for each one. She, Our Lady, let no one escape her. And by this, she gave to each one the right to be able to receive their Redeemer. So I, Jesus, did redeem them. So now I want to do to you, Louisa, I want you to do for the kingdom of my divine will. I want you to pray for everyone and everything so that all of humanity can receive this. So what does she do? She sacrifices. She did not eat, drink, or sleep for 64 years. She could walk, and Jesus said, stay in bed for the rest of your life. And she said, fiat. Stop eating, she said, fiat. Stop drinking, she said, fiat. Stop sleeping, she said, fiat. None of us could have done that. And this is why we fall in love with Louisa. We love the saints. But no saint has gone through what Louisa went through. And you'll see this as you read. You become aware of how beautiful Louisa is, how wonderful Louisa is, how powerful Louisa is. So he says, my little daughter, because the first purpose, the act and the end of creation, was that our divine will alone reign. not the human will. In order for the divine will to reign, it is now necessary to know it, to know it, to love it, and to possess it. This is what Jesus is asking of us. I want you to know this. Now, as you read, I've heard many people say, well, this is not new. This is what the saint said. No. When you read Louisa, and if you read the saints, nowhere does this, somebody was just telling me the other day they were asked to read something and they read it and they said, it's nowhere close to the divine will. And why? Because Jesus dictated these words. Jesus, the word of God, spoke these words. And he said, each word that I speak to you, Louisa, is a divine life. And when we read it, he begins to help us understand this word. And then when you read it again, he expands your capacity because each word that God speaks is infinite. When he said fiat lux, the universe began. There was nothing there. It was a void, an emptiness. God spoke and the universe began. Our Lady spoke fiat mihi and the incarnation took place. We now speak the fiat voluntas tua and God reigns in us in a way that he wanted from the beginning. He says, it was our will that entered the field of action and creation that imposed itself on the nothing. That's us. Nothing. We're that drop of water put into the cup filled with wine. And with its creating fiat, it created the heavens, the sun, and the many beautiful works. Also, it created Adam. In all of the works, it created, it placed the seal of its omnipotent fiat as the indelible sign, permanent sign, that would remain inside of each of its works as ruling king inside its kingdom. So the purpose of creation was not our power, was not our goodness, not our justice, not our immensity and the like. And if all of these are divine attributes concurred in it, it was as a consequence, not as a purpose. And if we do not obtain the purpose for which the triune God created humanity, as if we had done nothing. And since it created things that were made for man and man for God, this is why by necessity of love, by necessity of right judgment, for the honor and the decorum of God, of ourselves, Jesus says, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of all of our works, as the reign and fulfillment of our divine purpose for creation, we want our divine will to reign again in humanity as origin, as life, and the end of his whole being. Image and likeness of God. Just think of that. When God breathed into the dust, what came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. We say, Adam, it's just a human. The image and likeness of God came out of the earth. And when Adam sinned, the original sin, he lost that. And we've been under the thumb of the evil one for 6,000 years. Jesus said, I saw Lucifer fall like lightning to the earth. This is his parent. This is his place. But because of Jesus' death and resurrection, because of the Holy Church and the sacraments and sacramentals, our dogma and doctrine, our tradition, sacred scripture, everything now is coming back to what God wanted from the beginning. So he says, this is the necessity of love. This is the necessity of right judgment. It is for the honor. It is for the decorum of God and of all of God's works. And the highest work that God has created is Adam, humanity. And as the fulfillment of our purpose, we want our divine will to reign again in humanity as their origin, life, and end of his whole being. And then he says, Louisa, if you knew how much my fiat suffers in looking at humanity, it looks at humanity and says in its sorrow, I have made Adam with my own creative hands. He is my work. He is the very one whom I so much delighted in creating. Yet I am not inside of him as in my kingdom. Adam broke my seal. Adam put me out. Adam destroyed for me the purpose for which I gave Adam life. See then how it is an absolute necessity that my divine will be known and my divine will reign. And until it is so, our most beautiful work, humanity, cannot produce for man the goods that all creation contain. And the very work of redemption is without fulfillment. So he says, we haven't seen anything yet. Creation isn't completed because we have fallen. We have to get back to where we're supposed to be. Redemption isn't fulfilled because it's supposed to bring us into sanctification. And that's what God is getting ready. When our fiat was being pronounced and our works were coming out, we delighted in looking at the beauty and the magnificence of our works. And these moved us to pronounce more fiats as to form other beautiful works. So I am doing with you, Louisa. This new and divine way of holiness is everything. I mean, just think about that. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. He says, when our divine being pronounced, when he created Adam, our works were coming out. We delighted in looking at the beauty and magnificence of creation. And moved by this beauty, we pronounced more fiats in order to form the most beautiful work, that's humanity. And so I am doing now with you, Louisa. Don't you know what regards my divine will and its kingdom is nothing other than the continuation of creation? It's not full yet. It's not fit. It's not done yet. The narration to humanity was to be continued had Adam not sinned. See, the word was supposed to fill Adam more and more and more. He wasn't God. He was in the image and likeness of God, and God wanted to feed him this life. That's what the bread of heaven, that's what the bread of the divine will is about. Feeding Adam, that he possessed this kingdom. And since he rejected my divine will, Adam interrupted the narration of the story of my divine will, more so since my divine will had no more reason to make it, for Adam no longer possessed its kingdom. And after so many centuries, my divine will has resumed its narration to make itself known as a sign that it wants to give back its kingdom. Therefore, what I manifest to you, Louisa, about my divine will is nothing other than the continuing from the beginning of creation in order to narrate the divine life of the divine will to humanity. We're learning every day as we read. As we study, we're learning every day. Volume 24, 10-3, 1928. My poor mind was thinking about many things regarding the divine will, especially about its kingdom, how its kingdom could come and how its kingdom could spread and many other things that are not necessary to write on paper. And my beloved Jesus, moving in my interior, that's where Jesus is, in the interior of Louisa. He told me, Louisa, my daughter, if Rome has the primacy of my church, which she owes it to Jerusalem, because the beginning of redemption, because the beginning of redemption was precisely in Jerusalem. Now that we're going to understand a little bit more why everything is happening. With that fatherland from the little town of Nazareth, I chose my virgin mother, Mary, and I myself was born in the little town of Bethlehem. And all my apostles were from that fatherland. And even though ungrateful, the fatherland did not want to recognize me and rejected the goods of my redemption, it cannot be denied that the origin, the beginning, the first people who to receive the good of redemption were from this city, Jerusalem. The first criers of the gospel, those who established Catholicism in Rome, were my apostles, and they were all from Jerusalem, that is, from this fatherland. Now there is an exchange. If Jerusalem gave to Rome the life of the Catholic religion, and therefore of redemption, Rome shall give back to Jerusalem the kingdom of my divine will. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's this flow of God. If Jerusalem gave to Rome the life of the Catholic faith, therefore redemption, Rome shall give to Jerusalem the kingdom of the divine will. You see how close this is? Do you see why there's destruction all over the place, especially in Israel? The evil one knows what's coming. This Catholic life is coming. This universal life is coming. This great gift of the divine will is coming. And they are furious, the evil ones. They want to destroy everyone and everything. The devil knows his kingdom is coming to an end. The devil knows it. And he's panicking. He asked Pope Leo III, well, Pope Leo XIII heard in 1884, the devil saying to Jesus, give me 100 years. He knew his time was coming to an end. That was 1884. And 33 years later, in 1917, when he saw the miracle of the sun, he knew Our Lady was going to crush his head. And he panicked. And he brought about the revolution in Russia. And now 100 years later, 2017, it's done. And look, everything seems to be falling apart. Don't worry. If you have a shanty and you get $1 million, you're going to tear down the shanty and build your house. I mean, you're not going to live in a shanty filled with mice anymore, filled with spiders, filled with water. Roof leaking. That's not going to be there anymore. Jesus is sitting now saying, let me show you what I'm going to do. If Jerusalem gave to Rome the life of the Catholic faith, therefore of redemption, Rome shall give to Jerusalem the kingdom of the divine will. And this is so true that I chose a virgin from the town of Nazareth for redemption. So I have chosen another virgin, Luisa from Corrado, a little town in Italy belonging to Rome, to whom the mission of the kingdom of my divine fiat has been entrusted. And since it must be known in Rome, just as my coming to earth was known in Jerusalem, Rome shall have the great honor of requiting Jerusalem for the great gift received from her, that is redemption, by making known to Jerusalem the kingdom of my divine will. Then shall Jerusalem repent of her ingratitude, and shall embrace the life of the Catholic religion. And she gave to Rome this Catholic faith, and grateful shall receive from Rome the life of the great gift of the kingdom of my divine will. And not only Jerusalem, but all the other nations shall receive from Rome the great gift of the kingdom of my fiat, the first criers of its gospel, and all full of peace, of happiness and restoration of the creation of Adam. Everything's going to be recreated, restored. I love the word regeneration that's said in the Latin Mass. Regeneration is coming. And not only shall my manifestation bring sanctity, joy, and peace and happiness, but the whole of creation competing with them shall unleash from each created thing of happiness it contains, the happiness that it contains, and shall pour over all of humanity. In fact, in creating Adam, we placed in his being all the seeds of happiness in each created thing possessed, disposing the interior of humanity like a field that contains all the seeds of happiness. And this is so much so that he has within himself, this is now he's talking about us, all the taste to be able to savor and to receive into himself all the happiness of all creation, of all created things. And then Jesus says, if Adam did not possess these seeds, he would lack the sense of taste, the sense of smell, to be able to enjoy what God has put out of himself for the whole of creation. We haven't seen anything yet. All nations, all humanity will become Catholic. Why? The universal life is what God breathed into Adam, the Catholic life. That's why Jesus and Mary came to earth, to start the Catholic life again. And now, after 2,000 years, Jesus says, now the divine will is the crowning of my church. Everyone basically who survives, it's going to be tough. It's going to be worse than that bouncing, you know, in the plane over the Atlantic. It's going to be worse than that. But everyone who survives will be living in the divine will. The kingdom is coming. And Jesus said, you have to remember, when I return, will I find any faith on the earth? We want to prove to Jesus that we believe. Volume 25, 10, 7, 1928. My daughter, this group of people whom you see all in motion for the opening of the house of my divine will is symbolic of that group of people when I wanted to be born in Bethlehem. The shepherds were coming and going to visit me, the little baby. This pointed out to all the certainty of my birth. And in the same way, this little group of people, this is when Louisa went to live in the orphanage of St. Anthony Orphanage that was built for her by St. Honorable de Francia. In the same way, this little group of people, all in motion, points out the rebirth of the kingdom of my divine will. That was in 1928. It's almost 100 years from now. It's growing all over the world. People who are reading Louisa are so happy that they have the Book of Heaven. This little group of people, all in motion, points out the rebirth of the kingdom of my divine will. Look at how all of heaven echoes my birth. When the angels celebrated and announced me to the shepherds, putting them in motion, made them keep coming to me, and I recognized in them the first fruits of the kingdom of my redemption. So now, in this little group of people, of the little girls and nuns coming to see you, Louisa, I recognize the beginning of the kingdom of my divine will. And oh, how my heart exults and rejoices at all of heaven makes feast. Just as the angels celebrated my birth, so do they celebrate the beginning of the rebirth of my fiat in the midst of humanity. But look how many births was more neglected. How my birth was more neglected, more poor. I, God, had not even one priest near me from the temple. They knew when I was coming. I only had poor shepherds. On the other hand, at the beginning of my volition, there's not only a group of nuns and little girls from out of town and a people rushing to celebrate the opening, but there is an archbishop and priest representing my church. And this is symbolic of the announcement to all that the kingdom of my divine will shall be formed with more magnificence, with greater pomp and splendor than the very kingdom of my redemption. And everyone, kings and princes and bishops and priests and peoples, shall know the kingdom of my fiat, and they shall possess it. See, this is so glorious what God is doing. Therefore, you too, celebrate this day with my sighs and sacrifices and yours to make my divine will known. See the first dawn, the first hope for the sun, S-U-N, of my divine will soon to rise. Now, the day was October 7th. This is the day, Our Lady of Victory. This is the day of St. Honorable de Francia becoming a blessed, October 7th. He says, celebrate this day, which by sighs and sacrifices in yours to make my divine will known. See the first dawn, it's begun, and hope for the sun that's coming of my divine fiat to soon rise. Then in the evening of the same day, October 7th, consecrated the Queen of the Rosary, Queen of Victories and the Triumphs. This is another beautiful sign that just as the Sovereign Queen conquered her Creator and bejeweled him with her chains of love, Our Lady drew him from heaven to earth to make him form the kingdom of redemption, so shall the sweet and powerful beads of her holy rosary shall make her victorious and triumphant again. See, so the rosary, I'm telling you, if you haven't been praying the rosary every day and wearing the scapular, begin this, your whole life changes. It's not magic. It's the clothing of heaven, she says. We got to get ready for heaven. It's the beads of her holy rosary. Her victorious and triumphant fiat to make come again into the midst of humanity. Now I resume my speaking. At night, I remained alone with my Jesus in the sacrament, and my eyes were fixed on the little door of the tabernacle. And when you go to Corrado, when you go to St. Anthony's Orphanage, the sacristy now, that was her bedroom, where the Eucharist is, where the tabernacle is. That's where Louisa's headboard was on her bed, and she could look right down the aisle to the tabernacle. And so she's looking at Jesus, first time in a church in 40 years. She was 40 years in bed. Her window was facing the north. And now her, her bedroom window, if you want to say, as she goes out the door onto the right, it's sunlight and a garden. And she's Jesus speaking, "My prisoner, be welcomed." Now here Jesus is calling, this is a title Jesus is giving to Louisa. "Louisa, you are my prisoner. You have come to keep company with your prisoner, Jesus. We are both in prison. You in bed and I in the tabernacle. It is right that we be close to each other. More so since one is the purpose that keeps us in prison. That's the divine will and the love of souls. How pleasing shall the company of my prisoner be to me. And we, that's Jesus and Louisa, shall feel it together to prepare the kingdom of the supreme fiat." And that's where she was for 10 years, from October 7th to 1928 to October 7th, 1938. That was a tough one. "Be pleasing how the company of my prisoner to me shall be the company of my prisoner to me. We shall feel it together to prepare what? Why are we prisoners? To bring the supreme fiat on earth. I always have been alone, or at the most in the company of souls who are not prisoners, in whom I did not see my same chains. Now finally, the time has come for me to have a prisoner, to keep her constantly near me, under my sacramental gazes, and one whom the chains of my divine will alone keep imprisoned. A sweeter, more pleasant, pleasing company could not come to me." So Jesus, what you'll see in time is Jesus is calling each of us to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. And so while we are together in prison, we shall occupy ourselves with the kingdom of the divine fiat. We shall work together and shall have sacrificed ourselves together to make the divine will known to humanity. Volume 25, 10, 1928. A prolonged sacrifice has the virtue of strength to obtain great things from God. Okay, so each of us are suffering physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally. Each one of us has a cross. The suffering that we're going through has the virtue and strength to obtain great things from God. You have to remember that. The suffering that you're going through is essential. And when you get to heaven and God shows you what suffering is, the first thing we will say to God is, "Let me go back to earth to suffer." And God says, "You had your time." A prolonged sacrifice has the virtue and strength to obtain great things from God. "I myself, during my life down here," Jesus said, "wanted to remain in the desert for 40 days, away from everyone, even my mother, and then go out into public to announce the gospel of the kingdom. It was to form the life of my church, the gospel of redemption," excuse me. That is the kingdom of redemption. "So for 40 days, I wanted to remain as risen to confirm my resurrection and to place the seal of all the goods of redemption. So I waited for you, Louisa. I wanted you, Louisa, my daughter, in order to manifest the kingdom of my divine will. I waited 40 years of sacrifice." So you just remember, she was 40 years at the association. Her window faced the north. She never saw the sun for 40 years. "I waited 40 years of your sacrifices, Louisa. Of how many graces have I not given you? How many manifestations have I not given you? I can say that in this great length of time, I, God, placed in you, Louisa, all the capital of the kingdom of my divine will and everything that is necessary in order to make creatures comprehend this great gift. So your long imprisonment, these 40 years, have been a continual weapon, always in the act of fighting with your very creator. And you have manifested my kingdom." So what's this fighting? It's fighting with God, not against God. "You must know that everything I have manifested to your soul, Louisa, all the graces I've given to you, Louisa, the many truths you, Louisa, have written and we have read on the divine will, your pains and everything that you have done have been nothing other but the gathering of the materials in order to build. And now it is necessary necessary to order them and to get everything settled." And just as I did not leave you alone in gathering the necessary things that must serve my kingdom, I have been always with you, so I shall not leave you alone. That's one of the things you have to understand. God has been always with us. He's been always with us. And you're going to, as you read the book of heaven, you're going to experience what Louisa went through, the little that Louisa went through, the little that we go through. God has been with us. He's been with us. He's never left us alone. He's helping us put everything in order, showing us the great building of that God has been preparing together with us for many years. This is not anything that, I mean, we're going to see God has been with us. He's been with us in all that we've gone through, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And he's used everything to bring us to where we are today. He's not going to give up on us. He's given us the book of heaven. And Jesus said to Louisa, when somebody has the book of heaven, I myself have given that book to that person. I have known this from the beginning of time, that these, my children, would have this book written by you, Louisa, dictated to you, Louisa, that you put down on paper. And as they read it, as they study it, as they put it into practice, everything's going to be accomplished. He says, I've given you everything that must serve my kingdom. I've been always with you. I have never left you alone. I'm putting everything in order and showing the great building that I, God, have been preparing with you for so many years in each and every one of our lives. You have to know this. Therefore, our sacrifice and work is not finished. We must go forward until this work of God is completed. This is what God is asking of us. Are you willing to climb, continue to climb this mountain? Continue to climb for the kingdom. And again, if you've ever climbed a mountain, it's difficult. My spiritual director used to climb mountains. And I mentioned this a while back. But one day I went to his office and he's hanging, you know how you have ledges over the doors? He's hanging under the door with his fingertips. And I'm looking at him. I said, what are you doing? And he said, practicing. And I said, practicing what? I mean, he says, you never know how long you got to hang when you're climbing a mountain. And I went, you know, this man was amazing. He's just amazing. Louisa, my daughter, I bless you with my whole heart. And see, you have to understand, Jesus is blessing us with his heart. My heart rejoices in blessing Louisa, who possesses the origin, who possesses the life of our fiat, that shall bring about the new beginning, the origin of the kingdom of my divine will on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus looking at us, and he's saying the same thing. I'm blessing you with my whole heart, because you're beginning to possess this origin of our life, of the fiat. You're going to help bring about the beginning, the origin of the kingdom of God, paradise on earth. And while I bless you, listen to this, I pour in you the beneficial dew of the light of my divine will. As he blesses us, as we read, he's blessing us with the beneficial dew of the light, the L-I-G-H-T of my divine will, that making you all shining shall make you appear more beautiful to my sacramental gazes. You see why he wants us to be with him. He wants to see his reflection in us. And I, God, shall feel happier in this cell, in this tabernacle, gazing at my little prisoner, gazing at Louisa, gazing at us, invested and bound by the sweet chains of my most holy divine will. We're just beginning to understand this great and infinite love, diving into this infinite ocean of love that God has given to us with this great gift of the divine will. So we'll be back in 10 minutes, or excuse me, 15 minutes, in the name of the Father. and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.